Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
We have to be looking at all of this a little bit more spiritual, but it won't be spiritual on October 21 because the Bible clearly teaches that then the world is going to be destroyed altogether.
I clearly have done things that were wrong. I've clearly had to seek God's forgiveness. People have to decide whether or not what I've said and what I've done is real.
When I touched my hand against the Western Wall and placed my prayer between its ancient stones, I thought of all the centuries that the children of Israel had longed to return to their ancient homeland.
The Holy Spirit is interested in glorifying the Christ, the Messiah, and he points all of our attention to the incarnation, God becoming flesh and laying down his life as a sacrifice for us.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
It is rather remarkable in a week that had so much news of national and international import. One of the biggest stories was a television show going off the air after 25 years. Television isn't entirely trivial. And of course, when you're talking about Oprah Winfrey's television show, you're talking about something that has actually had a real impact, I think, on the way that Americans think. Not for the better, but it's definitely had its impact. What about religion? And how was the religious tone of Oprah's last hour with her network viewers covered by the media? We'll be talking about that in the second hour of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, May the 27th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Before we get to that conversation with Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service, we'll have a listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line, Issues Etc. blog of the week. Then, after our conversation with Terry, a little bit more of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. And then, as usual, we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week with you on this Friday afternoon. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours. We encourage you to do so. Give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc, or visit our Facebook fan page and vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in advance right there, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. First, Issues Etc. listener email.
Doing anything exciting for Memorial Day weekend, are you, Wilkie?
No.
Getting out of the Wilkin compound?
Well, as little as possible. I'm going to be, if my calendar reads correctly, I'm going to be preaching Saturday night and Sunday morning, four services all said, at Peace Lutheran Church in South County,
St. Louis,
where Dennis Castens is a head pastor down there. Always a great opportunity. Preach there a couple times a year. Every year, and so that takes up most of the weekend. I mean, because that entails extra naps. You know, if I actually have to do something of any nature beyond sitting around and staring blankly into space, I have to have extra naps. So that takes up pretty much the whole weekend. As far as Monday, I don't know what I'm doing Monday.
Any barbecuing?
Well, we were planning to, but I don't know. I'm going to see what I'm going to let Craig inspire me. You know, I haven't inquired as to Craig's weekend plans yet. I know that his girlfriend slash, we don't know what's becoming of this kind of a thing. I know that she's actually under the weather in the hospital. Did she come out of her surgery okay? A-okay? She came out of her surgery?
Yeah, absolutely. No problems, no issues. Had her surgery, and she's recovering nicely in the hospital.
So very nice to hear that. That means that Craig is either going to be a free man all weekend long and do whatever he darn well pleases, or he's going to be watching the dog, which means he may be doing what he pleases, but he won't be the free bachelor man I picture him to be every weekend when I want Craig to inspire me to weekend fun.
Tori's mother is in town, and she'll be watching Luna and Luna's Tori's dog, her Yorkie poodle. and she'll be taking care of the dog and, of course, taking care of Tori. So I hope to do a little of both. Visit with Tori and maybe possibly bring her over to get together with my family for a barbecue.
That'd be very nice. So. That'd be very nice. She might have to watch what she eats after appendicitis surgery. So in any event, I don't know, Jeff, what are you doing over the weekend? More tandem bike riding?
Well, I want to get back to Craig. Let me tell you
more
something.
More basketball if, with your infant son?
If Sir Feichtinger is barbecuing, one thing, rest assured, one thing you can guarantee will be there, Country Bob Sauce, a new proud advertiser of Issues Etc. Go to countrybobs.com.
I had the best ribs I've ever made in my life.
Now,
and I'm
are
not
you
joking.
Just saying this?
I'm not joking.
Folks,
I,
now, you see this on TV. You know, if you're like me, you become apathetic, and you're like, yeah, it doesn't really mean it. So are you being honest?
No. Did you hear me
tell the story? No, you're not being honest?
No. Did you hear me tell this story yesterday?
Yes, I did.
Without any incentive whatsoever, the last time I made ribs, might have been last weekend, weekend before last, I don't remember. I cut up the ribs while they're still raw. I rubbed them thoroughly with Country Bob sauce, the original. And then I baked them, and I kept slathering them. And then finally, only at the end, my wife doesn't know this. She thought I was using regular old barbecue sauce. She thought I was, but I fooled her. And only at the very end did I put on regular old barbecue sauce just as the topper. And she commented that they were the best ribs I'd ever made in my life. After 24 years of marriage, best ribs I've ever made.
So was it Country Bob's regular or spicy sauce?
Regular. I didn't have spicy.
Have you tried spicy yet?
I tried spicy on the way home last night because
on the way in your car?
In my car.
Would you stick your finger in the
bottle?
Yes,
I had a couple bottles in the car with me. And so I was driving home. There was a terrible accident in Collinsville. It made it impossible to get to the highway. So it took a half hour even to get on the highway. And I was sitting there. I was hungry. There was the Country Bob's. It was the apple chipotle. I opened it up, broke the seal, and had a taste. It didn't do much to assuage my hunger, but it was delicious. So
you like the spicy. Craig's got some other stuff, too.
It's spicy,
you?
By the way. I would warn you, Craig.
Craig's got some. Our Country Bob rep, good Scott Miller, who I attend church with at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois.
Are they a proud advertiser?
Yes, they're a proud advertiser. They actually pay money to advertise on the show. They're crazy.
That's nice to
crazy. He came by the other day, and Craig, you know, Craig wasn't satisfied with, he saw that you had like two bottles, okay? So Craig has to jump in, and he wants some of a little bit of everything. What else did you get, Craig? Not just the regular spicy, did you? Oh, he's going to look for it as we speak. And he's got it right here.
What do you got, Craig?
It's Country Bob's All-Purpose Apple Chipotle.
That was the one I tasted in the car last night when I was hungry.
And Country Bob's All-Purpose Honey Habanero.
I didn't
good.
Taste that one. I was afraid to taste that one, lest it be too hot for me. I didn't have any water in the car. So anyway, that's how I spent my evening last night.
So Issues Etc. has two advertisers, Concordia Publishing House and Country Bob's. Go to countrybobs.com. We've got like a bunch of gift certificates we need to give away before the end
Let's
of the
make
year,
it part of the LPR December. Bundle package. Okay,
that's a good idea.
It goes we'll in the LPR them. Bundle package from now on.
You know what? I bet when we throw that puppy in, I mean, the votes for Soundbite of the Week are going to go up immensely. You know, who wants a T-shirt? I have issues. T-shirt, a pen, a travel mug. When you can get a gift certificate, one coupon for free Country Bob steak sauce.
And it's an all-store coupon, so you can just stick it in there. You can use it wherever you want to.
That's right.
Wherever Country Bob's is sold.
Call the neighbors, wake the kids. By the way, has the thread died down on the Facebook post at facebook.com/issuesetc, an attempt by a listener to drum up support for Craig to get his own microphone? I'm trying to find that thread as we speak. It appears to me it's died a silent death.
Well, it got pushed down the page, didn't it?
Yes, I'm looking. Where is it at? A vote. Here it is. Issues, etc. Listeners in favor of Craig getting his own microphone, hit like. Well, there was 8, 9, 10, 11. You got 11 votes, Craig.
Out of what, now over 5,700 fans there. Craig, I wouldn't hold your breath.
But Craig gratefully thanks all 11 of those voters. You know, maybe next time it comes up, he'll get 22 votes for his own mic.
Well, if you want to actually vote that Craig gets his own microphone, we can't guarantee. No, see, the problem is there's no metric here. How many votes does he have to get before he gets one?
I don't know. We'll have to check the LPR bylaws, see what they say.
We have bylaws?
Yes. They're in my head.
The best place for bylaws.
What are the Schwartzes doing this weekend? I do want to see Kung Fu Panda 2. It came out yesterday on Thursday, so we'll be doing that.
Of you when I saw Jack Black on the season finale of American Idol. I thought of you in Kung Fu Panda because I know it's your favorite movie.
Yes. I don't know where you got that, but I did like Kung Fu Panda 1. By the way, I heard the Pirates of the Caribbean Friends Verse was terrible. Terrible. So it was the worst. I mean, they're huge Pirates of the Caribbean fan. Said it should have been done in an hour. People in the theater are like, is it over yet? It's
really
pretty bad. That's what I hear. I don't know.
I haven't seen a single one of them. So.
Oh, you haven't. But we'll do that. We'll go to the Bonifest, the big Roman Catholic Church in Edwardsville, Illinois, epicenter of the universe. They have a Bonifest every year with rides and games and things. We'll be doing that. And I'm sure we'll be going bike riding, and we'll be going to the YMCA and playing some basketball and volleyball.
I saw a picture of your infant son, little Joey, with a basketball sitting. It looked like it was crushing him, actually. But where did I see this picture? I think it's on your phone.
Yes, I took it on my phone. It was the Schwartz's home away from home is the Edwardsville YMCA. Okay, so I went there to help our oldest son rebound and shoot some baskets for him, and I took little Joey for his first trip to the Edwardsville YMCA, and he seemed to enjoy it. I don't know if it was the bouncing of the balls or didn't cry or anything.
Did you keep him in a safe? I mean, I know that you put him in this thing when you pull the tandem bike, and the kid's careening all over the streets of Edwardsville in this rickety thing you pull behind your bikes. And he's like half a month old. I hope you put him up high so that he didn't get beamed with an errant basketball.
That's good for him. Builds character.
All right. I was going to say more listener email, but we'll get to listener email, maybe, when we come back. Is the hottest part if you come. Issues, etc., regular guests, Pastor Matt Harrison, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be speaking at the Premier Worship Conference of 2011. Sing His Praise, His Love Declare. It's July 27th through the 29th on the campus of Concordia University, Nebraska. For more information on the worship conference, Sing His Praise, His Love Declare, visit seward2011.org or call 402-643-2983.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
The Faith, Once for All, Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry is a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Friday afternoon, May the 27th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Listener email. Not yet, but sooner or later.
Okay, last point.
The longer we stay on the mic, sooner or later we will eventually get around to, it's bound to happen.
Again, make sure we post on iTunes, in parentheses, mindless banter.
Okay.
Yeah, this was my banter.
On this one?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. The I noticed on your Facebook page you photoshopped El Presidente, Pastor Matt Harrison, President of Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, holding an Issues Etc. bumper, a window sticker.
Yes.
Do you think we could Photoshop him holding some Country Bob sauce?
That's it's all a matter of. I mean, how much time do you want me to devote to it?
I think that would be advantageous to our new advertiser, Country Bob's.
All right.
Countrybobs.com.
You know, I tell you what, the two are a match made in heaven. They are. I mean, think about it. You got Matt Harrison with that kind of bluegrass personality. You know, he's a country boy. He's a farm boy. He's an Iowa farm boy, isn't he? Sure he is. And Country Bob's. I think they go together beautifully. It should be the official sauce of the commissary at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's International Center.
I wouldn't know. I've never been there.
That's a lie.
Know nothing about the commissary. Nothing. Don't even know where it's at.
You still have commissary food between your teeth.
It just never goes away. All right, here's an email from Marilyn in Wheaton, Illinois. We didn't get to our roundtable this week. We had a power outage here in Collinsville, Illinois. It was a maintenance equipment update and repair is what the Ameren, the utility provider.
But we did have a delightful, easy first hour just sitting around in the dark talking with Pastor Mark Nebel, who was supposed to be one of the guests for the roundtable.
Yes, we did. But it was supposed to be on John 14. And Marilyn's question comes from what was supposed to have been the roundtable on Thursday, so we'll throw it to you instead. John 14:21 says, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. I try, but I can't keep the commandments," Marilyn says. It goes on to say that whoever loves Jesus will be loved by the Father. I want to be loved by God, but I mess up all the time. Can you explain why this sounds like I have to obey the commandments even though Jesus loved me enough to die for me? Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening in Wheaton, Illinois, Maryland.
We had a lot of questions like that from listeners who were anticipating that passage in our pastor's roundtable that never came to be. And this is a passage that if one does not read Scripture in the light of the distinction between law and gospel, this is a passage that will lead one to conclude beyond a shadow of a doubt that at the very least, your love for Jesus, perhaps even your salvation, depends entirely upon your keeping of the commandments. If you don't read Scripture in terms of law and gospel. Now, if you do read Scripture in terms of law and gospel, what you see here is that Jesus is speaking some of the sternest law in the New Testament. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So Jesus makes, and there's no denying this, there's no getting around this, there's no special trick of grammar that allows one to deny what Jesus is saying here. He's saying unmistakably that if you love him, you will keep his commandments. And if you don't keep it, the inverse is true. If you do not keep his commandments, you do not love him. And of course, the commandment of all commandments is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. That's the commandment of commandments. It's the first and greatest. So Jesus says, love me. And if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you don't keep his commandments, you don't love him. You're twice damned because you haven't kept his commandments and you haven't kept the greatest of all the commandment, which is to love the Lord your God. And Jesus speaks those words as the God-man. These words from Jesus are as threatening and as terrible law to a sinner as God thundering from Sinai and the children of Israel at the bottom of the mountain trembling with fear and saying, Moses, you go talk to God because we cannot bear to listen any longer. And even Moses himself says, I tremble with fear. If you don't keep his commandments, you don't love him. And the only conclusion that we can rightly draw from this passage, understanding it to be what it is. Law, not gospel. Law, not gospel. The only conclusion we can draw here is because we do not keep his commandments, and remember, the commandments are not a sliding scale. They're not a spectrum. They are keep them or don't keep them. There's no try to keep them. There's no intend to keep them. There's no I did my best to keep them. There's no I wanted to keep them. There's none of that. It is keep them or don't. And we either keep them perfectly or, as Paul reminds us many times, break the law in one point, you've broken the whole thing. The only conclusion we can draw here is that when we do not keep his commandments, which is what we do all the time, we do not love him. We're twice damned. That's what the law does. The law leaves you without any place to stand. If the question is commandment keeping, then we have to conclude we don't love Jesus, period. This is a word of law. It's that simple. And don't try and make it into the gospel. Because if you do, you will rob the gospel, which answers this law perfectly. You'll rob the gospel of its comfort and its assurance.
Here's an email from Eric.
Wait, let me get to the gospel. Oh. Hold on. The gospel is not in this text, by the way. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. The gospel has to be imported into this text. And that is, does your salvation depend upon you loving God? You keeping his commandments? Does your salvation depend upon how much or whether or not? It's not even a question of how much. There's no sliding scale here. You either love Jesus or you don't. And the measure of that is you either keep his commandments or you don't. And if you've broken one of his commandments, proof positive, you do not love Jesus. You have not kept his commandments. You're his enemy. That's the only thing that the law can say to us. That's the only conclusion we can draw from the law. The answer to that is the gospel. Our salvation, our standing before God as sinners, as lawbreakers, as enemies of God, depends not one bit upon our love for Jesus, our keeping of the commandments, but upon his love for us and his keeping of the commandments. If you want to know how you stand before God, on the basis of your works, Jesus tells you, you don't love me, you don't keep my commandments. If you want to know how you stand before God as a sinner on the basis of what Christ has done for you, which is the gospel, then Jesus says, I love you. I have kept the commandments for you. It's the only way to read that passage.
Eric writes, I heard a couple weeks ago a comment from a listener who said that the Psalms would not pass your test that you use on hymns since Jesus is not mentioned in any of the Psalms. I thought you gave some excellent points in your response, but I disagree with the premise in that listener's question. Jesus is mentioned in the Psalms. Every time the name Lord, the typical translation for Yahweh, is mentioned, there is Jesus. He claims that title for himself because he is the true God. The writer of Hebrews gives us a good example of this. He refers to Psalm 102, where it talks about how the heavens and the earth will grow old like a garment, but the Lord will not because he does not change. The writer says directly that this is talking about Jesus. Sure, the people in the Old Testament times did not use that personal name for him, but they praised and sang about the same Savior we do. The church did not begin on Pentecost, and her hymns, while undergoing some minor developments and changes here and there, always praise one Savior, one Lord. The Psalms do have Jesus in them. They are not general praise songs. They are Christocentric. Thanks for the email, Eric.
Smartest listeners in radio, no doubt about it. I guess the question is, are you understanding the Psalms as the songs of Jesus and of his church to when Jesus, when God is mentioned there? Now, obviously, what the church has always seen fit to do with the Psalms is to make that clear. It's not that the Psalms are deficient or speak of a different God than the God revealed in Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The church has always been confident that the God that is addressed in the Psalms is none other than the triune God, that the Savior addressed in the Psalms is none other than the Savior Jesus Christ, anticipating his coming in the flesh and his sacrifice for our sins. And with that confidence, the church has always added to its use of the Psalms what's called the Gloria Patri to make it clear what is already there in the Psalms, that we are addressing this psalm to the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to the divine Trinity. Smartest listeners in radio.
Quick email from Maria. During a break of one of the Bible studies for Issues Etc. 24, I heard you talking about the program being heard all over the world. Therefore, I'd like to tell you that I live in Sweden and have been listening to your program for many years now. I'm a member of the Mission Province in Sweden, and last week I told my pastor about your program. My pastor is one of the editors of a Lutheran magazine, which has readers all over Sweden. I sent him a short promotion text about Issues Etc. with the request to print it in the magazine, which he would gladly do. So hopefully you'll have some new and more listeners here in Sweden. Thanks for listening in Sweden, Maria.
That is very nice to hear. Thank you very much. Anything our listeners can do to help promote Issues Etc., we're always thankful for it. One thing you can do, by the way, now that I'm thinking about it, the deadline that a lot of churches are facing right now for their budget decisions is coming up. They're making those decisions right now, maybe even this Sunday. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support. Download a one-page flyer that's all about the Issues Etc. 300, our church sponsorship program. Take it there. Ask your congregation to join. Another way to support Issues Etc. worldwide. We'll be right back.
And make believe it came from you.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Independent and in the black for 2 years and running, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
I was recently in Quito, Ecuador, where I and others spoke to over 7,000 youth, eager minds wanting to know the truth about abstinence and abortion and its consequences. It was truly heartening to see the positive effect on the Ecuadorian youth who eagerly listened to our message of life and hope. We were literally mobbed on the stage by young teenage girls who excitedly told us we had changed their lives and the way they view abortion and sex outside of marriage. Some took off their bracelets and rings to present them to us as thank you gifts. The thousands of youth in Quito demonstrated once again the inherent hunger for truth on the critical life issues of our day. Once equipped with knowledge, we're all empowered to make life-affirming decisions.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
God didn't send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it through him. So it's a proclamation of the good news and victory and salvation of Christ. Not doomsday.
The job of legislatures is to preserve the common good, and the common good means the good of us all, including the child in the womb.
If this methodology has been discredited for Homer or Caesar or Ugaritic texts or any other modern or classical literature, why does it remain credible for biblical literature?
If there was no fall, there is really no need for redemption.
In about an hour, it's your opportunity to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, and for the best vote during Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, the LPR bundle package, now including a coupon for Country Bob's steak sauce.
We're not sure about that.
Why are we not sure about it?
Well,
you make this big buildup.
No, I didn't say anything about, you know, how we're going to... Well, you decide to put the LPR bundle package. The problem is we have listeners around the world, and you have to take this to a retailer that I think it's Country Bob only exists in greater St. Louis.
Well, okay, let's do this. Include the coupon so that they can go online and order themselves. If they're listening in Sweden, for instance, I know the Swedish love sauce.
I don't think it applies online because Country Bob is going to have to pay shipping and handling for their sauce to get there.
All right, I take it back. I'm sorry.
If you're in St. Louis and you do win the LPR bundle package, we will send you a couple of Country Bob.
I don't know why we have to be geographically discriminatory this way, but
well, because Country Bob is not.
See, I would
nationwide.
Think that Craig, our resident capitalist, would believe that it should be everywhere. There should be free trade all over the world.
I sent an email to Scotty, so we'll find out what the distribution area of Country Bob's is. And Jeff and I figured if you're in that area, then you'll get a Country Bob's certificate. If not, you're out of luck.
All right.
But you know what? 24/7, anytime, 5 days or 7 days a week, you can always go to countrybobs.com. Two advertisers, Concordia Publishing House and Country Bob's Steak Sauce. Janet, Livonia, Michigan. I'm wondering if women reading the Bible during Sunday services counts as proclamation. What do you think, Todd?
Women reading the scripture readings? What was it, Jeff? Women reading the Sunday morning readings?
Yes.
Counts as proclamation. I don't think you even have to go that far. I mean, I'm wondering what's the real question here. Is the real question, is it tantamount to preaching? And the answer is no, but that doesn't mean it's necessarily proper in the church. Because the public reading of Scripture has been given in particular. You know, people say there are no regulations for how Christians worship in the Bible, which is a big, fat lie. There are all sorts of regulations in the Bible about how Christians ought to worship in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. And one of them, in fact, and there are no stipulations, oh, there are no ordinances or rites. Yes, there are. There are at least three: baptism, absolution, and the Lord's Supper. That's hardly none. I mean, only one would be enough to say there isn't none, but there are actually at least three. And there's one where Paul instructs Timothy, as pastor of the church in Ephesus, to attend to the public reading of Scripture until he comes again. And he's not talking about just stand on the street corner reading the Bible. He's talking about one of the primary duties he has before the congregation. And so to hand that off to someone other than the pastor is questionable, depending on what's actually being done there. But to go so far as to say, well, we're just going to let lay people generally and then lay women do this is, I'm sorry, the Bible gives that task to the pastor. I don't know why we feel the need to push the edge of the envelope. I don't know why we feel the need to flirt with something that Scripture makes quite clear belongs in the purview of the, and you say, well, can't other people read the Bible? Of course they can, but the public reading of Scripture is explicitly given to the pastor.
Here's an email from Barbara in Colorado. I just finished listening to the last of the series on creation with Dr. Joel Heck, and I want to thank you for unashamedly holding to a straightforward historical interpretation of Genesis and a six-day creation. I understand that you get a lot of criticism for this, but it has been a contributing factor in my return to confessional Lutheranism after 40 years in the wilderness of evangelicalism. I appreciate the fact that you interpret the world by the word instead of the other way around. Thank you, and please keep it up. Thanks for listening, Barbara.
Well, we certainly will. I mean, not only because our listeners appreciate it, which is nice to hear, but because this is our conviction. I'm not given a choice in this conviction. I've often said that the great thing about being a Lutheran is that I do not have to disregard a single syllable of Scripture. I do not have to explain away a single passage of Scripture. And I think if that's true everywhere else in Scripture, it ought to be true even at the beginning of Scripture, where, yes, is it difficult to believe with all of the competing ideas bombarding us every day, all the presuppositions about the age of the earth and the origins of life and of all things bombarding us every day, that it happened the way God says it happened in the first chapters of Genesis? Yes, that's difficult to believe. It's always a challenge to believe that. But we can rest assured that we do not have to disregard or explain away those passages, or, just as bad, interpolate our own ideas into those passages, that is, shoehorn things into those passages that don't belong. We do not have to do that. We can read those passages of Scripture that present themselves in their plain and literal sense, in their plain and literal sense.
Email alert, Matt, Seward, Nebraska. I know Country Bob's is sold in Springfield, Missouri, writes Matt, listening in Seward, Nebraska.
All right. So the scope, the reach of Country Bob's appears to be expanding as we speak.
Maybe we can take Country Bob's from being a local distributor of the best, finest steak sauce and make it worldwide. We can put it on the map.
Well, we can always try.
With our 50 to 60, you know, live listeners, according to LCMS Inc., that people actually listen to the show live, you know, we're going to make them big, big. Look out, A1. Country Bob's coming after you. Country
Hot Bob's. On your heels with that chipotle mustard.
And what is the website address, Pastor Wilkin?
Countrybobs.com.
Yes, countrybobs.com. Read it, learn it, live it. Here's an email from Marcio. Marcio or Marcio listens in Brazil. He wants to know the bump music that we played during our interview with Pastor David Peterson on John 16:5-15. He will guide you into all the truth going into the final break.
I have no idea.
Oh, it's Craig's favorite. It's a rap song.
I have no idea.
One God.
Oh.
By Future.
By Future.
One God. Three persons in the Godhead.
No. Don't. Yeah. Don't. We don't need to hear
it. I can rap.
We don't need to hear it. One God by Future. I'm sure that they're one of the one-hit wonders. We are actually, we have a very impressive catalog of one-hit wonder bump music. We really do. It's I think exceeds anything anywhere else.
Who's the Bob Dylan clone? This thing's God.
Peter Lettick?
No, Peter Lettick's a pastor out in one of our church sponsors.
I'm just throwing
out in
names
the,
at
Bay Area.
Peter
Danville, California.
I don't know.
We put him on the map. He sounds like Dylan, and the guy.
He sounds like George Harrison to me, but
he's got his own website. And Craig and I keep saying, just like go to Branson, Missouri, and be a Bob Dylan imposter. I mean, the guy.
No. It's called an impersonator, not an imposter.
Yeah, imposter, imposter. Yeah.
Imposter would be someone who's trying to cash Bob Dylan's checks.
That's true. But think of all the Elvis impersonators that are out there. I mean,
yes.
they're rich. They're rich.
That's true.
You know? And so that's I'm just saying.
That's a godly vocation. An Elvis impersonator? That's a great vocation.
I think Craig would make a good Elvis impersonator. Kind of looks like Elvis, doesn't he?
Well, he definitely got Elvis's cool. There's no doubt about it.
Well, since my baby left me,
I found
a new place to dwell.
Why does he insist on singing?
I don't know. I'm killing time here. I'm going through email trying to find one to read.
I know why, because next week that'll be up for Soundbite of the Week. That's why he likes to
just
sing.
Just fishing is
it's,
all
it's
he's
withdrawal.
Doing.
Yeah, I haven't been up for Soundbite of the Week in a while. You know? Craig's nailed it. He's nailed it perfectly. Let's see here. What do we got here? I don't want to talk about Ayn Rand again, do you?
Not really.
Okay, how about this? This is Candace. She's talking about Harold Camping predicting the rapture was going to happen last Saturday. She said, I'm going to burst a lot of people's bubbles here, but the Bible isn't about the world ending. It is about the unconditional love of God that is showered onto a fallen, evil, and righteously damned race. Our focus should be on how we miserable, sick, degenerative, undeserving, evil people are saved through Christ alone by the grace of God alone instead of a stupid doomsday clock. And no, I'm not sorry to burst that bubble. It needs bursting. As long as we focus on the end of the world, we completely overlook not only Christ, but the time, relationships, and life that stares us in the face each and every day by the grace of God, concludes Candace.
Candace, thank you very much. I don't want to make this an either or, but I think you're quite right because Harold Camping made one's salvation depend upon whether or not you bought into, well, salvation is an odd term for Harold Camping because he's an annihilationist. So if you aren't saved, you just wink out of existence. But insofar as we can understand Harold Camping's strange view of salvation, he made one's salvation depend upon whether or not you bought into his last day scenario. If you didn't, you wouldn't get raptured and saved. And if you didn't, you would be winked out of existence after the judgment, I suppose. I don't know all the details of how his eschatology works. I just know he made your salvation depend upon that. And as a response to Camping, you're quite right. The church lives in a grace that is not only past and present, you're putting the emphasis here on the present, quite right to do so, but also future. We live already in that future through his word and sacraments where grace prevails even in the last day, even in the judgment. We'll be right back. That's not the way it feels.
Operator, could you help me, please? Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House on the uniqueness of the Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
That in every lesson, at every level in Growing in Christ, we point out salvation in Christ Jesus, forgiveness of sins, life forever in Christ, so that stories aren't taught as great miracles or moral stories or moments in time, hero stories. They're taught always with Christ in full view, Christ as our Savior from sin, death, and the devil. And that makes all the difference, because that's what matters for eternity, not how wowed the children are this week with the coolness of the story and the miracle that's presented. It's all about Christ, and that's why we call it Growing in Christ.
You can receive free samples of Growing in Christ for your Sunday school by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040 or check out Growing in Christ at cph.org.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email on this Friday afternoon, May the 27th. In just a minute, Issues Etc. blog of the week. Boy, that just occurred to me. I better make sure I pick one before we get to blog of the week. See, this is how it works. I mean, there's people imagine us sitting here with a staff of dozens, researchers, junior producers, making sure we're ready for the show. My goodness, nothing could be further from the truth. Terry Mattingly will be with us in the second hour of the program. We'll get his take on the media's coverage of Oprah Winfrey's spiritual goodbye. Then, Issues Etc. comment line and Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Speaking of the comment line, we got a lot of nice response to our recent, the series that we're doing occasionally called Lutheranism Around the World. People seem to like it, but we did the latest installment on Lutheranism in the UK. Listeners liked it. Here's a comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
This is Herman. I was listening to Pastor Semioki from the United Kingdom, and thought it absolutely incredible to learn of the translation of the Lutheran Confessions into Swahili. Amen and amen to that, that the Lutheran presence in Africa will be strengthened by that resource. And we've learned about it through Issues Etc. I don't think we would have learned about that at ALPB Lutheran Forum. They're kind of caught up in more esoteric reflections at times, but I think that's absolutely earth-shattering to have that translation of the Lutheran Confessions into Swahili, and also may it also continue into other languages around the world. That's extremely significant that Lutheran people there can have that to be refreshed and studied in their faith. And hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and the things of the Christian faith elucidated. That's very uplifting. So you're batting 1,000. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you very much. We're happy to do it. We really, The reason that series, Lutheranism Around the World, is so occasional is because it really is only occasioned by the opportunity to speak. And we like to do it as much in studio as we could to speak with Lutherans from around the world. And whenever we run across one of them, we try and plug them in and make it part of the Issues Etc. series on Lutheranism Around the World. This translation of the Lutheran Confessions into Swahili, it's a no-brainer, don't you think? When you have 150 million people in Africa who speak Swahili, doesn't it make sense? And a growing Lutheran population, faithful confessional Lutheran population that has never had the Lutheran Confessions in their language, that makes perfect sense. Whatever is spent, whatever resources are dedicated to do that, it is more than necessary to do that. I think it's a great idea. Here's the alternative. We could have Lutheran churches down there that are not familiar with the Lutheran Confessions, and we don't know whether they're Lutheran or not. The only touchstone of whether or not you're dealing with real Reformational Lutherans are those Lutheran Confessions. So I think it's a great idea. I'm glad our listeners understand the great need for that, too.
Just got an email from Jim. He says, tell LCMS Inc. that there is at least one Baptist listener in West Texas. Enjoy the show.
Jim, thank you very much. Nice to know.
I just have one question for Jim. Can you get Country Bob's steak sauce in West Texas? That's what I want to know. And if not, why not encourage your local grocer to stock up on some Country Bob's? CountryBob's.com. Here's from Steve.
Where is this
it's
coming
Cedar
from?
Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Is this his way of like getting back at me? Because I took three bottles of Country Bob's and he didn't?
No, you guys don't know it. The Shores family has a lifetime supply of Country Bob.
Of that, I'm sure, yes.
Steve, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I have a suggestion for future Issues Etc. 24, assuming it is continued. Oh, it will be continued, my friend.
What does that mean, by the way? I read that email about an hour ago when it said, I have a suggestion for Issues Etc. 24, assuming it is continued. Is he simply saying, assuming you're doing it again next
year?
Yes,
yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I hope it is strictly for selfish reasons. Have a full session on the book of Numbers. Many, if not most Christians, consider that book to be the junk closet of Scripture or little more than a cure for insomnia. The truth of the matter is that God's dealing with his people demonstrates the richness of his plan, character, and covenant. Precept after precept of the law is unpacked as it is applied in the lives of the people of Israel as the Lord leads them from one scene to the next. Keep up the good programming, writes Steve in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Well, Steve, thank you very much. My thoughts escape me here. What was the first point he made there, Jeff?
Make sure we do something on the Book of Numbers. I contacted him and let him know we tried to get Dr. Nathan Jastrom of Concordia University, Wisconsin, to come on during Issues Etc. 24 to discuss Numbers, and he wasn't able to this year, but we will try again next year.
Yeah, and we're trying to hit as many books. We're going to hit the same book some year. We're going to hit some other books. But as many as we can. The Book of Numbers is not without a theology. The thing with the Book of Numbers, at least from the little I know about it, is that it has to be understood in its context in the first five books of the Bible. Now, does it contain a lot of data? That's what we call it nowadays, simple data. Yes, but that doesn't mean it is devoid of theology. And believe it or not, the Book of Numbers can also, and that's what I think sparks his email, can be read, as it ought to be, in a Christ-centered and cross-focused way. There's no doubt about it.